Our second scripture lesson, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it or overcome it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every human being was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through him the world was made, but the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to add another short reading to our lessons this morning. In contemplating this scripture lesson, I realized that there was another scripture that bore heavily upon what we're going to contemplate this morning. Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to begin at 1 Corinthians 12, the final verse. He says, "Eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfection comes, the imperfect disappears." And now I'm going to skip to the very last verse of this beautiful passage. It says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Since the beginning of time, people have been striving to figure out where this all began. How did we, human beings, come to be who we are, to do what we do? Traditional academics have divided our history into three ages. The Stone Age, we're all familiar with that. We've seen the pictures of the cave drawings in France. We know that our ancestors wore animal furs, hunted with rude, crude spears and axes and stone implements. That was around 9,500 years before Jesus was born. That's when the Stone Age was said to have begun. Then we have the next age. The Bronze Age began around 3,000 years before the coming of Christ. Somehow, people found out if you took these common dirt that were found there, copper and tin, and you combined them in the fire, and they would make a metal useful for making many tools. But the tool that we used most was the sword. We found out about bronze. And as the wars went on and empires rose and fell in the Bronze Age, someone along the way discovered iron, another kind of dirt that was, if it was combined with the right ingredients and along with enough heat, it made it an even stronger metal. And what happened? Yes, there was more aggression. There were more wars, and there were more empires that rose and fell. One of the things you notice is just taking a quick look over these different ages is that in each of these ages, the technology was used and characterized by weaponry. Yes, there were tools made. Tools were very useful. And somewhere along the line, they figured out how to make a plow, which would break the earth and make growing things easier. But they also made war chariots, swords and spears, and other innovations of weaponry, so that there was always a new aggressor, a new empire builder. Even today, it is said that we have entered a new age, that we've left the Iron Age and we've entered the digital age. And on the surface, it would seem that our digital innovations would remain peaceful, right? Are they peaceful? I think we have ample evidence that digital innovations are being turned to a lot of military applications. One of the reasons why the Ukrainians have been able to resist the great Russian army is they have taken AI, or automated innovations, and applied them to warfare, and it has given them an edge that no one would have even imagined. With this kind of gloss over a huge history, it seems that we human beings have been a violent, warring species who turn every innovation to aggression somehow. And of course, that sets the stage for God to do something different, to bring an innovation into human existence that would turn us in a different direction. The Creator decided to give humanity a gift, an innovation which would lead us away from our aggression, our violence, our war and destruction. Indeed, contrast the history we have just reviewed with the innovation described by the Apostle John in his gospel. God's innovation was to send the Word. What does the gospel say? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness could not overcome it. God sent the Word. Communication. Not weapons, not tools, but communication. And it was communication of what? A world-changing concept. In the Bible, it's written as agape, but we know it as selfish, selfless love. The person of Jesus Christ brought God's love as a message to humanity, but he also became that message and brought us an innovation in how we human beings can live and continue to thrive. You know, God had every right to be disgusted with his human creatures, with every innovation, with every advantage that we came up with. We turned it toward destruction, toward war. But God said, we're going to change that. God introduced an heart-changing, peacemaking innovation into human existence, the communication of unconditional love. The incarnation of selfless love into a human heart. The reason I wrote that section of Paul's letter to the Corinthians is because I think Paul is acknowledging the nature of the gift that God gave to humanity through Christ. He said, let me show you a more excellent way, a new way of life. Something that will put you on a different path than this constant striving, this constant reaching and grabbing and fighting over things. Love. Love that is patient and kind, is not envious or boastful, is not proud or rude or self-seeking. Love that resists anger. Is not looking for an offense or a wrong or something to complain about or blame someone for. Love that is wary of all the traps that are set by lies and by evil. Love that clings to and cultivates the joy of truth. And finally, love that always seeks the welfare and prosperity of others. Right there's the heart of it. Love that seeks the welfare and prosperity of others. That's what God sent into this world. Love that builds trusting relationships, clings to the last shred of hope, and has the toughness and the grit to persevere regardless of oppositions or temptations. Or even personal preferences. God's wonderful innovation. How is it received? We'll go back to John. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's God's latest innovation for the world. It is not well received, but you have received it. We, the church, have received it, and we are Christ in the world right now. And we have a heavy responsibility to love. To love in a way that the world has never seen. To say no to anger and hostility. So let us receive God's precious gift this morning. Let us put to use his innovation for human existence and pass it on to others from this day forward. In the name of Jesus, amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, on this special Christmas day, we celebrate your coming. And we get to commune with you at your table to once again take you inside of ourselves. The blood that you shed on our behalf and the body that was broken for us. To receive that once again. Repent of any and all that is not love. And turn ourselves fully to the path that you followed. Bless us in this way, and bless this time of wonderful communion with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.